With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
Brendan. Yeah.
No.
And we are the Swapcast Podcast. Every episode, we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. This week, we are watching the 1978 comedy Heaven Can Wait, starring Warren Beatty, Julie Christie, and James Mason, where a Los Angeles Rams quarterback, accidentally taken away from his body by an overanxious angel before he was meant to, returns to life in the body of a recently murdered millionaire. As always, we love to hear from our listeners, so slide into our DMs on Insta, send us an email, or chuck us a review on iTunes so we can get to 100 reviews and do an episode on Face Off already. So we actually got a lovely listener review.
Yeah.
And this
I
is from a
checking because they have... There is a bit of a drought there.
He sent us an email, and his name's Lee, and he says, "Folks, thanks for the very funny podcast. No idea this was such a big genre. But the recent Brother Bear podcast gave me flashbacks to another weird, weird movie. I used to babysit in college for a kid who loved this movie starring Scarlett Johansson, Eva Mendes, and Judge Reinhold, about a little boy being turned into a pig, which is weird because that actually has some danger. Having not watched this since the 2000s, I can't recommend it, but I know I found it weird, especially that a six-year-old enjoyed it. Hope you can find it."
So it's like Babe, Pig in the City, but with like
ScarJo,
famous people.
Lee, I have found this movie. It's currently in my hand right now. Found it on eBay for
$4. My Brother the Pig. Oh, my God.
Starring Scarlett Johansson, Eva Mendes, and Judge Reinhold. He was right.
What's with the rainbow? Like, is it a leprechaun's like story, or is that where they swap? Or
no, I think it's magical rocks. Magical rocks, I'm pretty sure.
Classic.
You know how rocks be. You know,
everybody's got Black Widow fever at the moment with Scarlett Johansson. So I think it's perfect timing, really, for us right to the back.
Not me.
Right back to the beginning of her career. So I usually do this at the end of the episode, but thanks to Lee, I'll do it right now. Our next episode will be My Brother the Pig.
Thanks, Lee.
You never know. That'd be amazing. I'm sure that's why no one's ever heard of it, and it doesn't really exist probably.
So, listeners, if you want us to watch your terrible recommendations, all you have to do is recommend them to us and we'll do it. So, all right. So on to Heaven Can Wait. This film is widely beloved. The almost 60 movies that we have covered for this podcast have collectively been nominated for a total of 11 Academy Awards. Heaven Can Wait, on its own, was nominated for 9 Academy Awards, whoa, including Best Picture. The reviews were rapturous, and it grossed $81 million worldwide, a sum that is very impressive for 1978. So does Heaven Can Wait live up to these accolades? Brendan.
No.
I am shocked. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Wait, no, did you say 11 Academy Award nominations?
No. This got 9 films. 9 nominations, sorry. So out of the films that we've done for the podcast, collectively, they've been nominated for 11 Academy Awards.
And
can
so
you guys guess?
All of this and then being John Malkovich, right?
No, this is not including this. The movies we've covered before have had 11 Academy Award nominations.
I feel like that's even more surprising.
Can you guess which movies were nominated?
Well, I know that John Malkovich has about four, I reckon, of the 11.
What about the old one, Whatever Lola Wants, that one?
Damn Yankees, yes, that's been nominated.
Wow. What about Your
Name? I need
the
list.
Yeah, I will tell you the list.
Oh,
Selfless.
Selfless. Pretty cool. Pretty cool, yeah, it's pretty cool. Best Picture. So Chances Are was nominated for Best Original Song. Damn Yankees for Best Music. Big for Best Actor and Best Actor, Best Original Screenplay. Soul for Score, Best Animated Film and Best Sound. Being John Malkovich for Best Supporting Actress, Best Director and Best Original Screenplay. And Brother Bear for Best Animated Film.
And then this.
And then this was nominated for Best Picture, Best Production Design, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor, Best Actress, Best Director, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Cinematography, and Best Score.
What else was going on in that year? I gotta see.
Yeah, okay. I need help.
What else was going on in that year?
This is nominated for 90, only won for Best Production Design. I'm guessing overall you guys didn't like the movie then?
No.
I wouldn't say that.
I didn't. I need to fully disclose.
Mm-hmm.
So we like kind of crammed this in. You know, mm-hmm. we arranged recording pretty quickly, and so I had to watch the movie last night.
Yeah.
After like a long day and blah, blah, blah. And so I don't know if it's that I was tired and like I'd had a long day and blah, blah, blah. Or, I hated this. I thought it was so boring. I thought it was so boring.
Your precious little time spent.
I can't believe if they even have like the nerve to call it a comedy. Are you kidding? Are any of you laugh once?
There were some scenes I recall having
I have to say I'm more on Lucy's side. I wasn't crazy on this film. I don't think I hated it, but yeah, I didn't laugh, and I felt like it had the ingredients to be better, but it always cut itself short. And then I think what really swayed me on this film is the fact that previously we've reviewed Down to Earth on this podcast, which was the remake of this film. And I feel like Down to Earth took all the problems with this film and actually fixed them.
Yeah, completely.
And made it a better film. So having that in my head kind of really colored this film for me.
Yeah, because this film, like, it's just about a guy who has everything going his way and then he gets inconvenienced by death. And then continues to have everything his way. And it's like, the end.
The reason that this movie was successful, I'm sure, is because Hollywood was really thirsty for Warren Beatty, right? He's like a huge star.
Is he a real footballer?
No.
And but you can tell he doesn't look like one. Like, look, he's a hottie with the body. Like, but he doesn't. I'm like, him? He's the quarterback. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he does have that star, you know, that star power to him. And, like, he wrote, directed, and starred in this film. And it is very much a vanity project because, like, how many body swap films do we watch where we never actually get to see the body they swap into? Like,
yeah,
he
how
is
weird is
every
that?
Every single frame. And, like, obviously, when they remade it with Chris Rock, they did a similar thing, but you at least got to see what the body was
they
like that he was in.
Any opportunity for gags with
that. The comedy element of that. Yeah. Exactly. Like when Chris Rock's an old man rapping, it's like, oh dear.
Yeah, an old white guy rapping. Yeah. Like, this is not.
Because the whole film, I was like, are we like, because the whole thing is that he turns into a millionaire and then wants to continue to be a football player, which he was before he died. But we don't know how ridiculous a concept that is because we don't know. If the
we don't see his physique, we don't really know how old he is. Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, is this a problem or not? Maybe he's like a super fit young millionaire and it's actually not that ridiculous that he's going to be the star quarterback for the Rams.
And then we just also have to say, Paul needs to do the plot, but anyway, it's like in the end, they're like, okay, you're getting put in this body and your memory's going to be erased. So basically, it's all pointless. What's the point? I would have been like, can I just go to heaven, like, and keep my own memories? Like, that's terrible. That's a terrible deal.
But Down to Earth did that as well, but they did a better job of explaining
it.
Yes,
they did.
No, each one is just as terrifying as the next. It's like the end of Being John Malkovich, where, like, you're trapped in someone else's body and watching it from through their eyes. Like, ugh.
Let's do the plot quickly. For our new listeners, this is the segment where I try to sum up the plot in 30 seconds, but I haven't written this beforehand. This is totally ad-libbed. I haven't been able to achieve this once, so let's see if this will be the first.
This movie was really boring and not much happened, so maybe you will be able to do it. Just get all your okay this one, stories out
is the
now.
most promising one, I think.
Ready, set, go.
Warren Beatty is a footballer and he dies, but when he goes to heaven, they realize that he wasn't supposed to die yet, so they put him in the body of a millionaire temporarily. Then he realizes as a millionaire he can, like, fall in love with this girl and make the business a better thing, but also buy the Rams football team and become their quarterback. And then he does that successfully, but then at the end he has to go into another body, so they put him in another body in the team, and then he wins the Super Bowl, and then he loses his memories.
Wow.
And that's the end.
Very good. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yes, I did it.
You did, but I just have to say, if you didn't know what this movie was about, you would listen to that and be like, what? Like, you covered everything, but it was really like, and he fixes the business and he loses his memories. What? Oh, that was funnier than the whole movie.
Yeah, it has all the exact same beats as Down to Earth, but everything seems half-baked. Like, I mean, a big part of this, when he dies, then he goes into the body of the millionaire purely because he wants to, I guess, be around this woman that's trying to sue the millionaire's company. And that whole romance subplot just feels so underbaked. Like, did you guys believe that at all?
I wrote in my notebook, he proposes after, what, 2 weeks? I just wrote, marriage?
They propose before a kiss. Yeah. He proposes and then they have a first kiss.
And we're like, are we supposed to give a flying fuck about this? Like, you have spent no time watering the garden of this relationship.
But guys, did you see how long they montaged around the garden talking? Like, yeah, that was a long conversation. Mm. I think they knew each other deeply after that.
That I was shocked. Like, usually a romantic, like, montage or whatever, they'll actually let you hear the conversation between the two people to kind of get to know the characters, get to know their romance.
Not this time.
But this is not this time. It was just like long shots, seeing them walk around, and then by the end, they're in love.
And also, the montage, that other montage, hilarious. That was the funniest bit, but it wasn't supposed to be funny. When he was learning to play football, it had a really silly song set to,
Yeah, well, the film starts with a montage of him doing his, like, training to be a football player, and it is so fucking boring.
And how old do you think Warren Beatty was at this time?
Oh, I don't know. Like, they acknowledge in the film that he's, like, on the cusp of being too old to be a football player anymore.
It's like, Tom Brady or not, like, look, I know I'm going to ruin Hot or Not, but, like, he was in fine form. But I'm like, I didn't buy it. He didn't look, like, big or, like you said, it was a vanity project. He was like, I like this idea. I'm going to make myself the star quarterback. It's like, come on.
Well, yeah, like that whole opening montage where we're just seeing him, like, take a protein shake, go for a run, go for another run, go for a bike ride, and then I'm going to go for another run. I'm like, why are we watching this?
Because you told us to. Yeah.
Do you know what's really funny? Adrian watched maybe the first 25 minutes of the movie with me, and he's like, so what's this about? And I'm like, oh, look, it's, you know, a remake of this, so I know it's about XYZ. And Adrian kept laughing at everything I said, and I was kind of like predicting things that were happening. He was laughing. He was like, that's crazy, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I'm so desensitized to these movies. that I was like, ugh. And Adrian was like, ha ha ha, what a funny premise. I'm like, no. Like,
like, I think that's what made this one
dead
worse.
Dead inside.
Is that we've seen these sorts of movies so many times, but we've also seen the remake of this film. So we've seen like a better version of it. And so we're just coming in going, oh yeah, I see why they did it that way in the new one. Like, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there another one? Were we talking about this last time?
Yeah. So Ice Angel, aka On Thin Ice, Skating for the Gold, was a ripoff of this. But so then, did we like that thought, more than this?
Well, you said that there was like another original, or am I wrong? Okay.
Yeah.
Chances are? No.
We've watched a lot of films about this where someone's died before their time and then gone to the afterlife and then put into another body. I mean, Switch was like that.
Yes.
Soul was like that.
Like this idea of like the bureaucracy of the afterlife and
of heaven, yeah.
Why is this such a fantasy that people have, is that we've taken this like, you know, cog in the wheel sort of reality and we've brought it into our like, you know, place of like utopian, like, you know, resting. I just find it really strange that this is constantly,
like, even in death there's like office bullshit to deal with.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Filing mistakes and like, come on.
Even yeah, Soul had it.
Yeah,
completely.
And Down to Earth, Afterlife was depicted as a nightclub and like getting into the nightclub, whereas this time it was lining up at an airport.
Which is, that is hell. That's hell.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think he was going to hell?
Imagine after all this. Well, what did we think of him as a character? Like, because I didn't really know what to think of him. Like, before the swap, you don't really get to know him. And then even by the end of the film, like, I guess he's kind of dumb. He really wants to play football. But for a film that, like, he's pretty much in every scene, like, I don't think I got to know that character.
Well, yeah. I feel like it's the same, like, this is the same character as the guy in Soul. What's missing from this film is this guy was, like, obsessed with going to the Super Bowl, and that was what his whole life was about. This movie, if it was done more like today by like conventional writing, like you would have him learn that, oh, actually life's about more than just football. And like, you know, he would have had to make the decision whether to like save the girl he loves from going to jail for his like, you know, arrest, I'm sorry, for his death, or go and play the Super Bowl. Like, I feel like that was the tension it was going to lead to, but then it's not even that. It's just like, she'll be fine.
Yeah,
go
he's
ahead.
Like, I just want to get everything I want. Is that all right?
Yeah, yeah.
Totally agree. There's so many stakes that just weren't explored in any way. In Down to Earth, the millionaire's wife and the millionaire's accountant were played by Jennifer Coolidge and that guy from Ally McBeal, who I can't remember his name. And in this one, it was Charles Grodin, and the wife was played by...
Exactly.
Well, the wife was played by
Deanne Coolidge.
She played by Deanne Cannon, who was nominated for Best Actress for her performance here.
In this?
Yes.
Oh. Best Actress.
Best Actress. Best Actress.
I like the fact that the Academy used to recognize comedy. Like, isn't it sort of sad that everything has to be like a sad downer in order to be like, you know, held up by the awards?
Yeah, completely.
But, you know,
I feel like if you look at all the other nominees that year, this is the one comedy. It's like...
Yeah, but, you know, like Pulp Fiction and, you know, like Annie Hall. Yeah, all that sort of stuff used to win. Pulp Fiction's not a comedy, I guess. But it is, kind of.
That's funny.
I know what you mean. Like, everything now is like, you know, they talk about Oscar bait. That's a real thing. It's like it has to have weight and it has to be important.
Miserable.
It can't be small. It can't be like... But also, I am sorry. This movie was not funny. This wasn't a comedy.
Yeah, I'm totally in agreement there.
Thank you. Thank the Lord. It wasn't me being tired and crabby.
But I have to say, Charles Grodin did do a good job.
He was trying his best, but
he was the standout in this film. And I think he's the person that was performing to the genre that we think this film should have been, whereas everyone else was kind of felt like they're in a different movie.
Completely.
What do you think of the line that the, so I guess it's management heaven's management guy, Jordan or whatever his name was.
Yeah. Mr. Jordan. Yeah.
Yes. When he said, because basically he's like going, no, this must be a mistake. It must be a mistake. I shouldn't have died. And they're like, no, of course we don't make mistakes. And then Mr. Jordan's like, ah, but the likelihood of one individual being right increases in the direct proportion of the intensity in which others are trying to prove him wrong.
That sounds like some. That sounds like some QAnon bullshit.
Some anti-vax
right
bullshit for sure. Yeah, for sure.
I just had a very interesting argument. It's like, the more people are trying to prove you wrong, the more you're probably right is like a very toxic and dangerous mindset.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, like the morals of this film are all over the place. Like, you know, he achieves his dreams by buying the Rams football team for four times its value at $67 million.
He cripples a multinational conglomerate, like brings it to its knees.
Why?
Because he's a footballer. He doesn't know anything about running a company. He doesn't know you have to.
Yeah, but
you know,
that's like going to an auction and being like the bid being $1 and you paying like, I don't know, what, 1,000? It's like, why? Why would you bother? Like, you can still get it for cheaper. What is it? I mean, yeah, he was very, very pretty, but maybe a bit daft.
Yeah. And his solutions for like all the like crimes against humanity that the company was doing were like pretty shit.
Yeah, and I love I love the character, the female character. It's like, okay, I'm just gonna sell all my beliefs like for a hot piece of ass. Like,
well, that's the other thing. It's like, how far-fetched is it that she's falling in love with this guy, because we don't actually ever see what she's looking at
completely
through the whole film. So like, I'm imagining,
like, you guys are just about looks.
Yes.
Remember the poll?
Vanity Rocks.
Sorry, what's that next segment we do after this?
I hate talking about this film, so this is the 10th highest grossing film that we've covered
that
on the podcast.
That is disgusting.
Can you guys guess the top 9
highest grossing?
Wait, I want to come back to that, because this movie takes place on one set location. Like,
yeah.
Like, there's obviously the scene at the Super Bowl, which probably is like the most costly, but the rest of it's just in a, you know, cool old mansion.
Yeah, well, a cool old mansion that got them a best production design Oscar. So
also, with this list, is it like scaled for time period?
No.
Yeah, have so you included inflation, Paul?
This doesn't include inflation. And this is worldwide gross.
Wait, so even without inflation, this still is like, wow. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
Okay, so what is number one? Big?
No.
It's got to be Soul.
No. Because remember, Soul pandemic came out during the pandemic, so it's actually not that high. But it is in there. But
Paul, I reckon I've got the top gross.
Okay, yeah.
I think, I thought it was going to be Shazam, but just the stars involved alone, I reckon it's Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle 2. I reckon they would have paid more to have him in the second film.
Okay, you're wrong. Lacey?
That was a good guess.
And so it's not big. 13 going on 30? I don't know. What is it?
Okay. So number one is Jumanji number one.
Oh, I was so close.
Uh-huh. Which made $962 million. Jumanji 2 made $800 million. Shazam at 3 made 365. So it was a huge drop from 2 to 3, from 800 million to 365 million. Number 4 is Your Name at 358 million.
Oh, that's nice.
5 is the Lindsay Lohan Freaky Friday at 160. Then we have Big at 151. 17 again at 136 million. Soul at 119 million. 13 going on 30 at 96 million. And Heaven Can Wait at 81 million.
That it does not deserve to be on that list. I'm sorry.
Well, it just knocked off The Change Up off the top 10 at 75. Oh,
wait, that made that almost like that's yeah. number six.
Yeah, that's number 11.
11
is a wow. Change Up, followed by Down to Earth, Little Hot Chick, Nine Lives, Child's Play, All of Me, and Like Father, Like Son. And the lowest grossing film I could find on that Box Office Mojo actually reported on was The Sex Trip. On. Yeah, it was The Sex Trip at $14,000.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's go to our favorite segment, Hot or Not. Take it away, Brendan.
Are they hot? Are they not? Are they sexy or...
That's not the lyrics.
Are they sexy or what we can arrive at with?
I thought I was going to fit in cock there, but I couldn't figure it out.
That's what it sounded like. Are they sexy
one,
or
two,
cock?
Three. One, two, three. Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding.
Ding. Ding.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
I just can't do it.
Yeah, it disgusts me.
So, Warren Beatty as Joe Pendleton. Hot or not?
Go.
I am going to give him a hot. He is very handsome.
Seems a little dumb.
Seems a little dumb, which is good. I hated his tracksuit that he wore. I thought it was very unflattering. And like
what about
most of what he wore.
Outfit?
His safari outfit.
Admiral outfit?
Look, there was certain pieces of clothing that he wore that were okay, but his total outfits were usually disgusting. And it is a crime that this film is about a athletic quarterback and it has several scenes set in a locker room.
And everyone is fully dressed.
No, not one shirtless person in this entire film. And Warren Beatty does not get his clothes off once, which is a travesty.
Yeah,
so.
Like even when he's fully working out, he wears as much clothes as possible.
Yeah.
He's like trying to sweat it out or whatever.
Yes. Obviously not made with the female gaze, this film. So, no. Or the gay gaze.
The gaze.
The gaze.
Yeah, he same here. Hot, very silly, very, yeah. But I didn't buy that he was the quarterback and, yeah. They didn't milk it.
Brendan?
Yeah, like he seems like a guy you could have a beer with that would pat you on the back.
Or would you suck his dick? Is the question. Is the assignment.
Oh, yeah, I'll give him a hug. Yeah.
Oh, that's what this is about.
We should have renamed this segment a long time ago.
Would you suck his dick?
That's why we you put cock in the theme song when you were trying to sing it.
I was thinking about Warren, yeah.
All right, so Julie Christie as Betty Logan, the love interest.
Did you find that the like when you met her compared to when they fell in love, they fully softened her? Like they made her hair not as much of a triangle angle thing. And like,
her hair was hideous in the first scene.
Yes,
she looked like an old lady.
Yeah, completely. I'm like, she can't be the love interest. But then it was like, oh, it's like she took her glasses off or something. And it was like, oh, she was there all along.
Yeah. Julie Christie.
Yeah.
is beautiful.
Exactly.
Is a beautiful actress, and she's aged very well over the years. But that hair did not do her
any
favors.
It was a triangle. She looked like one of the Simpson sisters.
Yeah, or the mum from Rugrats.
Yeah, yeah.
Brendan, hot or not?
Yeah, I give it a hot. Like, I see what you're saying at the start, but still, like, that's a look as well. Like,
yeah,
you're into triangles.
That's like, she'll dominate me.
So Deanne Cannon as the millionaire's wife that's trying to kill him.
So she was hot. And yeah. She had maybe one of the only comedic beats that I even like slightly like turned the corners of my mouth up into a smile at was when they were killing the guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's just there brushing her hair. Like she doesn't even flinch when they shoot the shot.
Yeah.
That was pretty camp and funny.
Yeah. I love the fact like they have dinner at home every night and she comes to the dinner table in like a fabulous, like she looks like she's on an Oscar red carpet just to go to dinner with like diamonds and her hair so done up.
Yeah. And also with her lover.
Yeah. So I appreciated that. So I'm going to give her a hot.
I'm going to have to say no, purely based on her like interior of her bedroom.
Oh, hideous bedroom. Hideous bedroom.
Like the carpet, the wallpaper, the curtains, the bed runner, every single thing is
Since
the same
when do
material.
We judge people's hotness on what they're
I just felt like that needed to be brought up.
Yeah. No, fair. It's fair.
I mean, just ask Paul. I'm sure he's gone home with a lot of dudes who live in real shitholes. But they're still hot.
Shots fired.
No, don't worry, Paul, that I'm talking about myself. Adrian is the only guy I've dated who has any taste and, like, a bed frame.
So every guy before had a mattress just on the floor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One guy has like a bunch of pallet boxes just like assembled underneath.
Some syringes on the floor.
Mm, completely. One guy had a beehive. One guy had a beehive in his chimney that got exterminated. And then there was all dead bees everywhere. 4 months. He didn't clean them up. Oh my God, we have to edit this all out.
No, that's staying in, baby. So Jack Warden as Max Corkle, the coach that he like gets to help him become a quarterback again.
No, he looked like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory's grandpa.
You didn't like the bald with a mullet at the back look?
No.
Hey, I know I'm the straight guy, and also that I'll be alone in this, but when he is actually like in his like coach outfit, I was like, oh, that dude's actually like in shape underneath all that like plaid jackets and shit.
Why did you clock that and I didn't?
He was like 80.
I know, but I was like, yeah, respect, mate.
He's Charlie's
like, he still has,
grandpa
like, a chest
from Charlie and the Chocolate
Factory. All right, so. This, we haven't done this in a while, but we actually have an opportunity possibly for a double hot. Did we give him a hot in Heart and Souls?
Charles Grodin.
No,
I think he might have got a not. So this might be his redemption. Charles Grodin as Tony Abbott.
He still doesn't do it for me. What was his name?
Tony Abbott.
Whoa, there you go.
Former Prime Minister of Australia. Yeah.
Nah, sorry, guys.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a heart. Like his personality was obviously garbage, but like if you just ignored that, he was okay. He was cute.
I feel like it's the character that he plays, but also that haircut. Like, yeah. I feel like if you gave him a fresh do.
There's a hot guy in there for sure, but this wasn't the vehicle for that.
Let's get to Opinion Swap, where we find some interesting reviews of Heaven Can Wait from across the interwebs. So, this one's from Anna, who gives it 2.5 stars, and she says, I genuinely cannot believe this movie scored 9 Academy Award nominations. If this was not proof that the majority of Hollywood was on cocaine in the 70s, I don't know what is.
Yep. Thank you.
But you'd think if everyone was on cocaine, they would have made a film that
with a faster pace.
Yeah, with a faster pace than this. This is very leisurely paced. Also, like, this is one of those films where I had to pause it at a point and it was like, there's 50 minutes left.
Dude, I was so tired and just so bored. I really had to be like, keep watching. You can't stop it. Like, you need to go to bed after this and, like, potentially get up to your child in the night and then go to work the next day and then record the podcast. Like, stay awake. Watch this movie. It was terrible.
Much respect. Much respect. I did have like a little tiny nap, and then Katrina filled me in on
this. You didn't even go back.
Why would I go back? That means
remember when Brendan fell asleep in the cobbler?
Yeah. So did Katrina watch this whole thing?
Yeah.
And what was her thoughts?
Same as ours. she's a lovely person.
Yes, and. Have we talked about anything in this episode that you're like, oh, that must have been when I was asleep?
No. I haven't lost
nothing
a beat,
happened
guys.
In this fucking movie.
All right. So this one's a journey. This one's from Lucia on Letterboxd. She doesn't give it a star rating, but she says, this is the first film I remember actively hating. I watched it at a sleepover in fifth grade. This friendship group was really weird. Not sure how they decided on this over, like, the Lego movie or something. And I remember wanting to go...
She wasn't even in that time period.
Yeah. And I remember wanting to go home because this movie was so terrible. And one girl fell asleep. And then everyone thought it would be fun to put shaving cream on her while she was sleeping. It was just on my mind today. I didn't watch it again, but if I did, I'd probably still hate it.
Oh, my God. How old are you in year 5? Like, 10? Can you imagine? Oh, my God. I love that.
That was more entertaining than the film.
Yes.
That's great. So funny.
Right, this one's from Joey Shapiro, and he gives it 4.5 stars. And he says, the way you know Julie Christie and Warren Beatty are perfectly matched is that both of their hairstyles can be described as helmet-like.
No, Julie Christie's hair wasn't like a helmet. You couldn't get a helmet on top of that triangle.
And lastly, we have one that he's given it 3.5 stars, and it's from Charles Grodin. And he says, I am in this and I do a great job.
What? Is that real?
Yeah, well,
yes,
some, I
100%.
Think so, somebody's created a Charles Grodin Letterboxd account.
All right.
Where they review films as Charles Grodin.
So. I'm in this and I'm great. That's great. He was the best thing about it, so that's fair.
Now it's time for Tenuous Recommendations, where we each recommend a movie, TV show, song, album, or book that is connected to today's movie in some way. So I'll start. So as we've discussed, this film won the Oscar for Best Art Direction in the 1979 Oscars. So I am going to recommend another winner of the Art Direction Oscar, one from the 1948 ceremony, a movie called The Red Shoes. Has either of you seen this?
Yeah, I have.
Nope.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, so this is a film from like the powerhouse directing duo Powell and Pressburger. They also did the film Black Narcissus. I don't know if either of you guys have watched it, which is a masterpiece, which has also recently been remade into a TV series this year about nuns going crazy in India. And this film is about a ballet dancer, and she's torn between her career and her love for this music conductor. And as dry as that sounds, it isn't at all. It is like such a vibrant movie The cinematography is amazing. It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
And like there's so many like camera tricks and edits and stuff that like came from this movie. So if you're into like film history and like into your cinematography, and also like the movie itself, like the plot is actually really good and it feels fresh even today. So I would really recommend The Red Shoes.
I have to tell this stupid story. Mm-hmm. So remember back in the days of MySpace, and mm-hmm. you could kind of have your bio there, and then mm-hmm. it, like time went on, you could put in some pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I thought my MySpace page was a work of art. I spent like my little artily worded bio where I like had all these kind of in jokes and like, look how much pop culture I understand. And then, you know, it had this thing of like, you could list movies, books, blah, blah, blah. And the last thing was heroes. And I didn't fill out anything except for heroes. And I put it all like the movies and the books I love in that with all pictures. Mm. I taught myself that fucking HTML, whatever, just to put the pictures in. And I, one of them was a picture, a close-up of The Red Shoes. Yeah, I was like, I'm fucking cool. I know references. Nobody's as smart as me. And I had that on there. So love it.
I can't find your MySpace. I've, what was your name on MySpace?
Fuckoff.com. Goodbye.
All right, Lucy, what's your recommendation?
Okay, so sorry guys, I've been so time poor. I was scrambling. I was putting my kid down to sleep before this. I'm like scrambling on my phone, being like, what can I do? I'm like looking and searching, and I'm like, what do I know? What do I know about this film without having to like delve into everyone's things and read it on my like poorly lit iPhone in the dark? Yeah. I was like, I know that Warren Beatty has had an illustrious love life. So before he married the delightful Annette Bening.
You know, I didn't know who this guy was until you guys brought him up. I was like, oh, he must be a big deal.
Yeah, the many loves of Warren Beatty. So I've written them down. This isn't my recommendation, but it leads to it. So
that we should date these people?
We're talking. Jane Fonda, Cher, Natalie Wood, Vivian Leigh, Julie Christie. So from this movie, before, after, what do you think? I don't know. Faye Dunaway, Bridget Bardot, Joni Mitchell, Goldie Hawn, Michelle Phillips, Raquel Welch, Iman, Mary Tyler Moore, Diane Keaton, Diana Ross, Elle Macpherson, Barbara Streisand. Like, is he a time traveler? How do you date Vivian Leigh and Madonna? Like, how is that the same person? Okay, and so it's rumored that he slept with, he had an affair with Jackie Kennedy, which she did to get back at JFK for cheating on her.
Wow.
And also that he slept with Princess Margaret, like the Queen's sister. So I'm recommending.
This hung like a horse.
Yeah, for sure. And you can tell. You can tell.
Yeah. Definitely BDE.
Yeah, for sure. Like the audacity to be like, I'm making this movie, I'm going to sell it as a comedy, and I'm making myself the main character, and I don't have a footballer's physique. It's there. Big dick energy all the way. Anyway, I'm doing The Crown. I'm doing The Crown, baby.
The Crown.
Just because he's fucked off the characters.
Exactly. Have either we maybe slept with Princess Margaret. Like, that's insane. Oh, shit. I also had this joke I was going to do where I was going to say, I'm doing La La Land, no Moonlight. Oh, I forgot. That was him, right? Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so have either of you watched The Crown?
I do watch The Crown, but I watch it with my parents, so I'm a season behind. Okay. I actually watched an episode with them today, so cute. I watched the season 3 finale.
I swear the last time I spoke to you about this, you had never watched it, Paul?
No, I started watching it at the beginning.
Oh, okay, right. Well, what about you, Brendan?
Never.
I'm a deaf make you watch it for a tenuous. I'm here for it. I was like, I can't wait to do this to someone. It's so good. I especially love season 4.
Someone else has recommended it because I have a friend who loves the monarchy.
Well, I don't love the monarchy, but I love The Crown. And I especially loved season 4. I thought Emma Corrin as Princess Diana. I won't do any spoilers for Paul, but like she was, she's amazing. And I just think this crazy like attention to detail and all this stuff, and I think it's really well done. I love The Crown.
I would back that up. Like, you don't have to love the monarchy to love the crown.
No.
It's so good. It makes you care about these people you don't think you would ever care about.
Yeah,
so,
and I really can't wait to make Brendan watch it. Like, get this tenuous episode happening now. Yep.
All right, Brendan, what's your recommendation?
A Life Less Ordinary. Has anyone ever seen this movie?
No.
I can't remember if it's good or not. Do you remember A Life Less Ordinary?
The Cameron Diaz one, right?
Yeah, Cameron Diaz, Holly Hunter, Ewan McGregor, Stanley Tucci.
Ooh, I'm in it.
Tucci gang.
Have you seen it, Lucy?
No.
Oh, really? Yeah, I remember really liking it, but like just that idea of like the bureaucracy of heaven and stuff just really brought it back, and I was like, oh yeah, why not? So I'm recommending. Because, yeah, so it's a story about this guy who kidnaps a rich man's daughter for ransom, and heaven, for some reason, thinks that if these two people can come together, that humanity's worth saving or something like that. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Anyway, highly recommended.
Cool.
So fucking dodgy. All right, so where are we placing Heaven Can Wait on the list of films that we've done for the show?
I'm putting it in between Pretty Cool and Switched. It's way down there for me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's low.
This has, having a baby has just narrowed my focus. I'm just like, I have no time for, like, triflers need not apply. I just don't have the time.
I'm going to put it higher than you. I'm putting it in between... I'm going to put it in between Ice Angel and Switch. So I'm officially saying that Ice Angel was better.
Better.
Completely.
I'll stand by you.
Academy Award nominee.
I laughed more in Ice Angel.
Yeah, for sure. That's still pretty low, though. It's like bottom third, right?
And I'm going to put it between, so many bad films. Paul? I'm going to put it between The Shaggy Dog and The Shaggy D.A.
Right, you put them together like a little trilogy.
Yeah.
A little sandwich.
I'm still shocked you put Shaggy D.A. below Shaggy Dog. Like, what the fuck? Anyway. So we already know what we're doing next week, which is My Brother the Pig. So
brilliant.
I love that name, My Brother the Pig. look forward to that one. Until next time, you are an actual piece of shit on the ground if you do not review us on iTunes. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas, and I apologize for my friend.
And I'm Brendan Levi. And I feel like you're really forcing me to say something, but I have nothing to say.
Tell them they're all shit. Tell them they're pieces of shit.
Bye.
All right, see you, bye.
See ya, bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.